I'm Mark Bayshore. Like most Midwesterners, I'm ready to thaw out after this cold and snowy winter, so I got pretty excited to see above 40 temperatures forecast for next week. I'm sure you did too. But there's one group of people who aren't ready to say goodbye to the ice and snow just yet, the North Coast Cycling Association in Bayfield, Wisconsin. They rely on a frozen Lake Superior for their Saturday trips to Madeline Island. This weekend will be a special trip as the group hosts its second annual Bike Across Water race. Joining us to talk about what exactly compels someone to ride their bike across miles of frozen lake is John Murphy, a member of the North Coast Cycling Association. Welcome to Current State, John.
Thank you, Mark.
How did this tradition of riding across the lake get started?
It started with the Bayfield Rec Center. We have a recreation center here in Bayfield. And they have a winter festival, and they were hosting a run on water. And then what happened is that the fat bikes got very popular, especially for winter riding, and some people inquired about riding their bikes across. And they opened it up for bikes, and now we have a bike across the water, second one this year.
Was alcohol involved in the establishment of this race?
No, that's usually other endeavors on the ice. You have to kind of stay pretty sober on the bike on two wheels on ice.
Oh, you're a lightweight, John, I can tell. do you need a special kind of bike to be able to ride on a frozen lake?
Well, you know, it's a learning curve for a lot of people. It's kind of new sport. And what we're finding is fat bikes are great because they have a wider tire, usually starting around 4 inches and wider. And so they're good on snow. But when it comes to ice, typically any bike that has studs on the tires can do ice because it's basically a good hard pavement, but it's just very slippery. And so we have people using sheet metal screws, from buying commercial studded tires to you name it. Some have actually used chains tied around their wheels, and plenty of traction, you're good to go.
So everybody has one of those devices on their bike. Nobody does it on just conventional tires?
Well, believe it or not, I've seen people actually do it on regular tires.
Well, I can believe it, John.
But you don't want to be doing that when there's a 30-mile-an-hour crosswind out there, because no matter how great your balance is, that wind will blow that bike out from under you when you're on ice and you don't have any studs.
How many miles is the journey to Madeline Island then from Bayfield?
From Bayfield, Madeline Island's one of the closest islands. It's only 2.1 miles across.
Okay.
And you're going over depths of about 155 feet. Of course, you're on about 20 inches of ice, but it's kind of surreal when you're going over the dark ice and you're looking down in the water and you're going, wow, you know, there's 155 feet of water below me.
And it's a sure thing that you've got enough ice underneath you to support you. Are there ever like anomalies that you encounter where you see ice and you think, that may not be 20 inches thick, I may not want to ride my bike there?
Yeah, for the most part, if you can see the ice, you can see the depth almost immediately because of the pressure cracks along the ice, which are vertical cracks that go all the way through. So you can pretty much eyeball the cracks and therefore see the depth. But there's some areas where being, you know, familiar with the area, there's some high current areas, the South Channel between Madeline Island and Long Island. We lost snowmobilers out there a couple years back. That the problem with when you're going 30 miles an hour or faster on that ice, you don't have the time to analyze and kind of look and see what the thickness of the ice is. So it kind of ends up being a situation where it's a little too late.
So
by the time you see the thin ice, where on the bike it's actually safer because you're going slower and you can evaluate the ice a lot more.
Understood. John Murphy's our guest. He's a member of the North Coast Cycling Association in Bayfield, Wisconsin, and we're talking about the Bike Across Water race happening this weekend, where cyclists will bike across Lake Superior a couple of miles to Madeline Island and then back again. Now, I know that when cars drive across the ice road, they take special precautions. They don't wear seat belts in those circumstances. They roll down the windows just in case. Do bikers take any special safety precautions?
Typically, if you see a vehicle on the ice, there's usually very little that we would have to concern ourselves with in regards to going through, unless we just happen to be too close to a multi-thousand-pound vehicle that happens to break through. Typically, when we've seen through the years being out here on the ice road, cars break through. They break through that upper layer of ice where water's gotten between. What happens is we have pressure ridges that create a fracture in the ice and water seeps up, and then it freezes over again. So you'll have 12 to 15 inches of water with a thin coating of ice on top. And that's when you see cars go in, and they're only going in 15 inches, but it's enough where the cars get stuck.
How many times have you made this trip to Madeline Island yourself, John?
Oh, gosh. On the bike, probably about over 100 times.
Yeah.
What we've been doing now, we've actually been going out to the other islands. We've had a group. We just went 13 and a half miles around Basswood Island and back. And I did get wet on that one because I was trying to get some air, trying to go airborne off a pressure ridge, and there was 12 inches of slush on the other side of the pressure ridge because, again, the water seeped up on top of the ice.
12 inches of slush? 12 inches deep?
Yeah, of water and slush.
And you landed in that.
But as long as I kept moving, I finished the loop.
Well, I imagine you got to keep moving in a situation like that.
So I got soaked, but I stayed warm enough because pedaling that bike, you create enough body heat where you're good to go as long as I didn't have to stop.
How many people will you have racing this weekend?
Oh, I think we're going to have 20 to 30 people.
You get a lot of media coverage up there? I mean...
Yeah, a little bit. It's hard to get, you know, a lot of people are competing for coverage, and they got a lot of things going on up here in regards to different festivals throughout the area. But, you know, word of mouth and making contact with the bike groups and the bike clubs and stuff like that, you know, that's how you network out here, the people that share that passion of biking.
We're just about out of time. Are you going to hit 40 this next week like we are down here?
I don't think so. I think we're going to be in the mid-30s.
Okay, mid-30s. Still a little bit above freezing.
It'll be warm. I'll have to wear shorts when I'm on the ice out there.
Well, make it your bathing suit. You might get into that water again,
John. In fact, I want to note everybody to bring suntan lotion up.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, it's going to be a scorcher.
Of course. We've been talking about the upcoming Bike Across Water race when a few dozen brave souls will travel across frozen Lake Superior on two wheels. Our guest has been John Murphy, a member of the North Coast Cycling Association, which organizes the race. Thanks for joining us, John. Good luck this weekend.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks for your time.